the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get Simmons.
Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Leonis Martin with a walk-off. Two-run home run.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven, scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, thanks for coming back. Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast, thanks for being here. Wow, that was a tough one last night. A painful loss for the Mariners as they go down to the Houston Astros in extra innings. A marathon game with a finish you just could not have predicted. And the Mariners lose to Houston. We're going to break it all down coming up next. One of the bright spots, or I think the biggest bright spot in the game yesterday, James Paxton, who was dominant. We'll hear from him coming up in a few minutes. Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with the Mariners starter, and he was excellent in the game last night. Mariners now 0-3 to start the season. Their pitching has been excellent so far. I mean, you look at what they've done on the mound, especially considering their opposition, especially considering the ballpark. In 28 and two-thirds innings, 10 earned runs allowed, 3.14 ERA, including that big blast to end the ball game last night. Houston batting .231 against them in the three games, but 0-3 to show for it. On the other side of things, offensively, they just have not been able to get it going. Four runs scored in 31 innings to start the season so far. Mariners batting .145 as a team so far. Pitching has done the job, though. I think you would take all three outings from their staff as a whole, starters and relievers, against a very powerful Houston club. The Mariners just have not been able to get it cooking offensively. 0-3 to start the season. Quite a game last night. Very entertaining ball game last night. Mariners and Astros, game three of the series. And James Paxton was simply sensational. He had it working.
The payoff pitch. It is strike three called with a curveball. Holy smokes, on the inside corner. James Paxton breaking out that slow curveball. He strikes out Beltran on a 3-2 pitch. He struck out Altuve on a 3-2 curveball for a big second out in the bottom of the third. What a pitch.
Yeah, that pitch was working. And speaking of that strikeout to Altuve,
here comes pitch number 9 to Altuve. He swings and misses. Nasty, nasty stuff that time. The curveball from Paxton. And it completely hogties Altuve. And with that, there is out number 2.
Yeah, there was that curve, and that was really effective. Threw it 27 times last night, and the heater was, I mean, we've seen his stuff, but it's just remarkable for a guy from the left side. Threw his fastball 59 times last night, topped out at 99, essentially, 98.9. It was sitting at 96.5 miles per hour. Just impressive stuff. He got 12 swings and misses on the fastball last night, which is impressive. Five more on that curveball. So his stuff was completely dominant, and he really handcuffed that Astros lineup. For the ball game, Paxton ended up going six innings, allowing just two hits, no runs, one walk, and five strikeouts. On the other side, though, Charlie Morton looked like the right-handed equivalent. He was throwing awfully hard and keeping the Mariners off balance. He went six, allowing five hits, two runs. Those were earned, a couple of walks and four strikeouts. His one big mistake, one big swing of the bat.
The pitch, curve, swinging a fly ball into right field and deep going back. Springer to the warning track, to the wall. Goodbye, baseball, Gene Segura. An opposite field home run to right, the Mariners' first home run of the 2017 season. He had 20 of them last year in the National League. And with that, the Mariners have a 2-0 lead over the Astros.
2-0 lead into the seventh inning. The Mariners would hand it over to the bullpen. Paxton, 100 pitches in six innings. Scribner came on, and the Houston Astros able to get to him, eventually tying up the score in the seventh.
The 0-1. Swinging a ground ball, third base side, fair, pass Seager into left field, into the corner. Gurriel scores right behind him. Gattis, this game is tied up. Gonzalez goes first to third. Springer claps his hands. He steps on at second. And George Springer has tied this game at two apiece.
Two apiece, and then the marathon would ensue as the Mariners would dip into their bullpen time and time again, seemingly everybody getting a crack at things, including Edwin Diaz, who goes two innings, allowing a hit and a walk and a couple of strikeouts on 28 pitches. Vincent would come on as well. He'd get into trouble in the 11th, but he'd worm out of it.
And the 2-2 pitch, swing and a fly ball into center field. Martin is there, waiting for it to come down. He makes the catch, side retired. We are going to the 12th inning tonight here at Minute Maid Park. What a job by Nick Vincent, pitching around a leadoff double to Josh Reddick.
Go to the 12th and then eventually to the 13th inning. And then the Mariners put together what potentially could have been a very big inning. Haniger walked, Cano walked, Cruz walked. The bases were loaded. Peacock would come on in relief, and he would face Kyle Seager.
The 3-1 to Seager on the way, and it's outside for ball four. A bases-loaded walk. That'll force in the go-ahead run. Haniger will score from third, and the Mariners now lead the Astros 3-2 here in the top of the 13th inning on four consecutive walks.
Yeah, four walks in a row, so the Mariners scored one. But what hurt, the M's could not score anymore. Valencia flew out to center, but not deep enough. Zunino would punch out. Dyson would K as well. And an opportunity, a big opportunity, goes by the wayside, which ended up really costing the Mariners, because you go to the bottom of the 13th and the Mariners out of pitchers at that point. There was no one left for the M's, so they turned to DeYoung, who was making his major league debut, and what a spot to try and make it in a one-run ball game in the 13th inning, trying to nail down a save. It had happened twice in Mariners history where a pitcher making his major league debut has recorded a save. Two pitchers have done it. Emiliano Fruto and Rafael Soriano, both in their major league debuts, nailed down saves for the Mariners. This one a little different, though. In a one-run ball game, those were extended outings, closing out games that weren't necessarily close. This one, a different scenario in a one-run ball game in the third game of the season. He was able to record the first out of the inning, and then would walk Evan Gattis. Reddick would foul out to second base. So there's one on. There's two outs. Oki would single to left field. And then George Springer landed the very big blow to end the ball game.
3-2 to Springer. Swing and a high fly ball deep to left field. Dyson going back. Going back. Goodbye, baseball. George Springer with a three-run walk-off home run here in the bottom of the 13th inning. And the Astros win it tonight. A final score of 5-3.
5-3. The Astros win it. Painful. In 13 innings, the Astros improved to 3-0 on the year. Here's what the skipper said after the ballgame.
Tough spot to be in to have to put a rookie in there like that.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, I thought Chase handled the situation about as good as he can. That is, it doesn't get any tougher, you know, for making your major league debut in that spot. It was just one of those crazy games that ended up really crazier than I could have imagined. But, you know, we had a lot of chances tonight to score more than we did. It just, you know, didn't get it done there.
They had chances too. Your relievers got out of a lot of trouble tonight.
They did, yeah. The guys that we put in, I thought for the most part, threw the ball pretty well. Vincent got out of a couple jams late. Casey Fine did a nice job. You know, Diaz gave us two. You know, had contributions from everybody tonight. But, you know, we're playing some crazy games. We certainly did a lot of it last year as well. We got a good ball club. You know, we're not swinging the bat real good right now, but we'll get it going.
Your starter was pretty good tonight, too.
Yeah, Pax was awesome. Threw the ball outstanding, really controlled the game, and dominated it when he was out there. So solid outing from him. He'll continue to build upon that, and we're going to need him as we go along.
He's got the offense. I mean, he won in that 13th, but he just couldn't get much more.
Yeah, we should have added more there. There's no doubt. We certainly had him on the ropes. They gave us crack, and we just didn't, we should have just jumped right through and scored three or four there. Didn't happen, and again, they came back, got the big hit at the end.
Dubinsky was pretty impressive.
Yeah, really, kept us off balance. He's got a good changeup, and worked in a lot of the off-speed stuff, which, we've been anxious. We're not getting the ball up in the strike zone, and our guys want to do a little bit too much instead of just kind of moving the line along. And it's early season, and guys are pressing a little bit, but we gotta control the strikes a little bit better there.
The two good runs you get from Segura, it wasn't the longest hit ball of the day, but a race ball, I guess.
No doubt, yeah. We certainly need it. It was a big boost, get us on the board, get a lead there for a little while. There was some positive things tonight, but obviously didn't get it done. We should have scored more runs than we did.
So there was the skipper reacting to a very tough one. What about DeYoung? Here's what he had to say after the ball game.
I just pitched in the big leagues. Still pretty cool.
Chase, when you hit the ball, it looked like you could see Dyson tracking it. It looked like he thought he might be able to catch it. Do you think it was out when he hit it?
I mean, he took a big swing. I knew that it caught a lot of the plate, so I figured it had a chance. I looked back, I think. He looked like he just got enough, but I got to make a better pitch in that scenario.
What was your heart rate like when you first stepped on the mound in that situation?
Pretty good. I got a pretty low heart rate. I took a couple deep breaths. I've worked with a lot of guys to kind of get me ready for that situation. I was pumped. I just made my big league debut, so that was really cool. But I kept my heart rate down a little bit and just went out there, and I made some good pitches and made one bad one.
First pitch, good. You get the quick out. Does that settle you down at all? It kind of relaxes you?
It felt good, be able to just kind of get out there, be efficient like that. It's like, all right, we got one out. All right, now let's go get number two, because you can't get the second one until you get the first one. So, I made some good pitches. I made a couple bad ones. But, to get that first out relatively quick, that was nice for me. I felt good.
Did you feel like the pitch to Springer was a bad pitch in terms of location?
It was a strike. I was worried about, I just didn't want to walk him, really. I need to make a better location down. He's a pretty aggressive hitter. All in all, it was a strike, but he just got too much wood on it.
And, of course, a lot of the focus is going to be on the 13th inning, but plenty of chances for the Mariners' struggling offense to start the season. What about the offense? Here's Kyle Seager.
Oh, yeah, he most of the times I can remember it was more of like a six-hole. I don't remember him really hitting ball down the line too much. That was kind of the report, too, I guess, because, I was way over in the six-hole, and, we went over it in the meetings, and I was thinking the same thing. I don't really remember hitting it down the line too much.
Overall, that's all losses are tough. This one is going to be.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough loss. We obviously offensively weren't really clicking too well here. The pitching was phenomenal all day. Paxton obviously threw the ball so well. That was pretty impressive. Bullpen came in, did a good job. It was just, we didn't capitalize on, some opportunities we had, and we really didn't, create a whole lot of opportunities for ourselves.
It looks like you guys are one hit away. You get one there, and maybe.
Yeah, just kind of get a little, just to get a little bit of a, rhythm going for sure. But, that's kind of the way it goes sometimes. Unfortunately, it's, the first three games of the season where this is happening, it's certainly not the ideal start we're looking for, but we'll come tomorrow and we'll play.
It gets magnified a little bit early in the season too. You only played a handful. It just like the losing streak.
Yeah, it certainly does. Your first couple games, everything's magnified. You're the best team in the world. You're the worst team in the world. So that's the nature of the beast. That's all we have, for this year. The only thing we've done this year is this. So we certainly understand it, but you know, it's a long season, and we're certainly not going to hang our heads down.
And here's the take from Nelson Cruz.
All losses are tough, but that's got to be it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we want to win the first one and take it out of the way. I mean, it's a shame. Tomorrow's another day. We cannot feel sorry for us, you know. Nobody will feel sorry for us either. So you just got to step up tomorrow.
It feels like you guys are just on the cusp of really breaking out. You get a couple of hits there. And even like that last inning, it felt like you guys were going to put something together. It just hasn't come.
Yeah, that's the way it feels. We also feel the same way. Not that we can say, you know, we try. Hopefully tomorrow it will be different.
So there it is. Mariners and Astros will go at it in Game 4 of the series tonight, 5-10 again for the first pitch from Houston. Ariel Miranda will get the call for the M's. He's of course, taking the spot of Smiley in the rotation. And Miranda, he pitched well for the M's last season, and Mariners will need him to pitch well again. He's expected to be in the rotation for a while. Last year, Miranda with the Mariners, a 3.54 ERA for the M's. In 56 innings, fanned 40 in that stretch. 11 games and 10 were starts. He's going to face off against a young pitcher for Houston, but a very talented young pitcher in Joe Musgrove. So Musgrove will get the ball. His career, 4-4 with a 4.06 ERA. Last year, his first year with the Houston Astros, he pitched in 11 games last season. 10 of those were starts. 62 innings overall, 55 strikeouts in those 62 innings. Opponents batted .250 against him. Not a real hard thrower. He'll throw about 92 miles per hour. That's where he'll sit. But he's got a good sinker, gets some good sinking action, and a very sharp breaking ball. He's a young pitcher that the Houston Astros will really be counting on moving forward. So Miranda against Musgrove in Game 4 of the series. The Mariners will try and salvage the finale after losing a very, very tough one last night. Again, first pitch 5-10 from Houston with the final game of the four-game series. Now, certainly, we've talked about it already. One of the bright spots, James Paxton, who was sensational last night. Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with the Mariners starter.
Paxton enters the season with some exciting expectations, with the look of a pitcher who, after 6 years in the organization, appears to have put it all together, going through the ups and downs, changes in approach and mechanics, and experience gained. The biggest step was taken last year. It was almost exactly a year ago when the decision was made to start Paxton in Tacoma rather than in the big league rotation. It was a tough end to a frustrating spring for James Paxton.
You know, not happy, obviously. Not where I want to be, but fault is all on me. Didn't have the best spring result-wise. I'm going to go down and work on some stuff, and I'll be back.
2 months later, a different Paxton would arrive back with the big club. After a disastrous first start where he gave up 8 runs to the Padres, he settled in with a decidedly different look.
The 1-1 to Napoli, swing and a miss, and a 100-mile-an-hour fastball from James Paxton, and the count goes to a ball and 2 strikes. Paxton is fired up. His fastball with some life, a lot of life at 100.
Paxton's delivery had been reworked in Tacoma. No longer over the top, Paxton had a new arm slot that brought favorable results. He credits AAA pitching coach Lance Painter for getting him to a better delivery.
He did, yeah. It was one of those things where he said you roll a ground ball to your backhand side and then just pick it up and throw it without thinking about it. And when I did that, the arm slot that I'm at now is where I threw the ball from. And he's like, when you're not thinking about it, you pick up a ball going backside and then just throw it. You're going to throw it from your natural arm slot. The first time that I went out and pitched with the adjustment, the velocity was way different. I was throwing a ton of strikes.
Mike Zunino, who was also reworking things in Tacoma at the time, was there for the whole process.
Our pitching coach that was there, Lance Painter, sort of saw what he was doing in Double-A, and I caught him there too, and he was a little bit lower, and his lead arm was a little bit flatter, and he could sort of clean up his delivery instead of fighting himself vertically, and it was just instant. Once it clicked, it was, the ball was coming out. Even in a bullpen, you could tell the velocity jump, you could tell the movement jump, And I think really the only thing for him since then is, I mean, repeating it. I mean, sometimes, I mean, obviously there's those old habits that click back in, but recently it's just been him repeating it, and he knows his cues and what to get back to, and I think it was one of those seamless transitions once he got it down.
Now, there may have been instant success with the change, but consistency was a different matter. Muscle memory doesn't kick in overnight.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm just kind of trying to lock it in. I've found it at times this season. I've lost it. You know, I've gotten too high in my delivery, too low at times. It's just finding that consistency with that same spot all the time. So it's just a matter of finding what I can tell myself and what drills to do and what to work on to make sure I get to that spot every time.
Paxton told me that the last challenge with the new mechanics was getting consistency with his breaking ball. Throwing the breaking pitches from that arm slot was something new and at times difficult. But Mike Zunino has seen the payoff.
For me, I think it freed him up so he could spin the breaking ball. I mean, he was throwing it from top to bottom. I mean, he really had no control over it. But now with him being a tick lower, he can really trust his speed, trust his grip. And now he can spin it for strikes. He can bury it when he needs to. And I think that was the biggest thing that cleaned up from the whole thing.
Off-season work has made the delivery more comfortable and more consistent. It also made for a very different spring training for James Paxton.
I love it. You know, it's great to have drills that I can do to. I know what I need to do to lock myself in, and that's what I'm doing.
What is that?
Just getting that front side glove to the right position so I can come through in the right spot. And everything kind of just syncs up when I get to that spot.
And that's something you can do in-game if you pick up on it?
Yep, I can feel myself, or Mel can tell me I'm getting too high or too low. And I've kind of just got a position that I get to. And in the off-season, I was doing mirror drills and stuff, kind of making sure I was getting to the same spot every time. So I know if it starts going haywire, I can go back to that and kind of find it again.
What a difference a year can make.
You know, I feel healthy, which is great. Feeling really good, and just continuing to work on the mechanical thing. I'm not kind of lost like I was last spring training, which is a good feeling. So, kind of having an idea and knowing what I need to do is a good feeling.
Give an error on the throw by the pitcher Barkley. Runners at first and second, two on and two outs. One run across here in the sixth. They will take off on the pitch. Here's the 3-2 offer. There go the runners. Swinging a fly ball. Deep to left field. Maxie goes. And this one is way out of here. Goodbye, baseball. Thurman Thomas. A 3-run home run. No doubt about it. And it's the Mariners 7. And the Indians 6. I don't believe it. Holy smoke. Garvin Thomas has put the Mariners on top, and we have our first winner in the Cairo News Radio GTE Home Run Call Hitting Contest. Jade King has just won $71 and almost a chance for $710.
I wonder what she thinks about that error by Jeff Barkley out there. It lost her a shot to win $710, only $71, but the M's will take it. They have come back from a 6-run deficit. Would you believe it? My, oh my!
Whoa, what a ball game tonight here in the Kingdom. Garvin Thomas, his 11th home run of the year. And the fans have as much to do with this ball game as anybody. Pitch on the way to Davis.
See you later!